Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Paranormal Horizons.
Join us as we explore the
world of the paranormal. Paranormal on Blog Talk Radio. Relax, put your feet up, and get ready to enter.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Paranormal Horizons, the world of paranormal. I'm Pat Wright, and Jason, are you with me?
I am. I was struggling with a little bit of a technical issue, but I think I'm here.
I know. I heard some background noise there.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to activate the keypad on Skype, so I was frantically trying to find the right little button at the top, but I think we got it sorted out.
Absolutely. And Jason, I need to let you know that we've been trying several different technical ways to get the show to sound the best. And one thing that I found out that I was lacking tonight was my microphone. So I'm just using the microphone from my computer. So if at any point something sounds funny, you know, just let me know, and we'll try to make some adjustments. But can you hear me okay right now?
Yeah, it sounds fine to me.
Okay, good. Well, listen, we have another great episode this evening of Paranormal Horizons, and on this very fine day, I might add, some sunshine, I think, for everybody, wherever you are in the world. And I want to thank everyone for listening tonight. Go, if you're interested in chatting, you can go to beyondtheedgeofreality.com and join the chat room there. And I wanted to just mention, Jason, before, do you have any news stories or anything interesting to talk about before we introduce our guest?
Yeah, I do have a couple things, and I'm ready to rock and roll when you are. If you have something you
okay.
want to talk about first.
Well, I just want to let everyone that's just tuning in know that our guest this evening is Brad DuBlechet, and he's from Louisiana, and he has some amazing stuff going on. He's going to be calling in about 5 minutes or so. He has Louisiana Spirits Paranormal Group, and he also has geospirits.com. And we're going to tell you more about that. So I just want everybody to know to stay tuned. He's just, I don't know how long Brad has been doing the paranormal, Jason, but he has it all together. Wait till you know, his website is just amazing, but he'll be calling in a few minutes. So what's going on? What have you found interesting in the paranormal world?
Well, I did find an interesting story that I'll mention here in a second. But before I do that, I wanted to mention, you know, I made a post on our Facebook page about kind of one of the hobbies that I have. that I've been doing some time is working with audio and making intros and this. And I've been asked from other shows to do that on occasion. And one of the things that I kind of consider that I trailblazed was doing promotional commercials and things of that like to be played on our shows. So I made a post on our Facebook page about, well, if anybody wants free promotion, you know, I'm willing to spend some time on making commercials for people. And I already have two takers on it, so I wanted to put out there, you know, it's a great way to, if you're an author of a book or you have a group, because you know, a lot of times we like to play a commercial at some point during the show, and I'm trying to expand our stable of commercials. We have some great ones from author Edwin Becker, but I want to get a few more in there to play. So if anybody is out there, you know, just contact us on our Facebook page, Paranormal Horizons, and I'll communicate with you on what needs to be done to make that possible. So that's one of the things I'm working on. What do you think about that, Pat?
You know, that is awesome, Jason. And I love all the, you know, the clips that you've done. And as you mentioned, Edwin has done some for us as well. And that just makes the network more strong, where we're kind of helping each other. So just to clarify for everyone, what you just said is that if they're willing to be a part of Paranormal Horizons, you want to work on a commercial that helps promote what they do. Is that correct?
Yeah, basically what would happen is there's a few different ways that it can be done. The ideal way to do it is if somebody can just send me an audio file of their voice and what they want to say in their own words, and then I can take that file, then I can add sound effects and background and do it that way. The other option is if they want to send me a script, I can do it all myself, but it's in my voice. Personally, I hate my voice. I think it's terrible.
Stop. It's not.
but it's that's something I'm willing to do as well. And then the third option is to go ahead and do it all yourself and send it to me. And if I think that it's, you know, good enough, then we can play it. Not that mine are spectacular or anything, but, you know.
Well, and I think a fourth option, Jason, let's just throw this out there, is if someone just wanted to give us their information, you and I could also do a commercial for them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's,
so
the more voices, the better.
Right on. All right. Well, I see that Brad is in the queue, but before we get him on, was there any other tidbits of information that you had for the audience tonight here on Paranormal Horizons?
I do. I did find a story, and it makes me giggle a little bit. And it's kind of funny, but it's, I mean, you know, it's one of those things, I mean, it's not funny, but it's just kind of strange. But the story is a woman had to seek psychiatric care after using a popular phone app called Ghost Detector. She was scared so bad she suffered insomnia and hallucinations and had to be sent to the hospital. The woman, she's a 23-year-old from China, and she, you know, downloaded the app and used it on Chinese Memorial Day in a graveyard. And she claimed, you know, at the time she initially used this app, that she had found three spirits. But after her initial experience, that's when her problems began. She eventually was taken to the hospital and diagnosed with phasmophobia. Can you guess what phasmophobia is?
Like phasmo, like making it up, like not true?
No, it's fear of ghosts. And I'm trying to find the ghost sound effect so I could play it just on time, but I don't see it. So just for all the listeners, imagine you just heard some ghosts in the background. Yes, phasmophobia is the fear of ghosts. You know, one of the interesting things I noticed with this news story is that when she was younger, her parents used to scare her, you know, to keep her in line with ghost stories. So that just goes to show that, you know, you got to be careful what you do with kids, because if you start, there's such a deep mental thing going on that you can't be doing that, or things like this may happen. And for the listeners out there that aren't familiar with Ghost Detector, it's a very popular app. I have downloaded it, and, you know, they do claim it's for entertainment purposes only. It is a fun device. And it supposedly, I don't know what algorithms they use for it, but it supposedly detects spirits. I have my doubts. But it's also kind of fun as well because it also communicates, you know, vocally. You know, it'll say words like, you know, raspberry or something, and you're supposed to, like, figure it all out. And it looks like a big radar screen, but it's an interesting app. It's fun to download, but I don't know, again, you know, how accurate it is. But
well,
it's interesting.
I have actually downloaded that app as well, Jason. But when you said, oh, hey, I wish I could, you know, play a sound clip about a ghost, what a ghost sounds like. Honestly, do we really know what ghosts sound like? You know, we really don't. I mean, we have, you know, people that have captured sound clips and things like that, which is one of the things we're... Right. Thank you.
I found it.
But that's one of the subjects that we can talk to Brad about tonight because he has quite a few electronic recordings of some of the investigations that he's done. So we can actually talk to him a little bit more about that this evening. But, gosh, I hope this gal in China is okay after kind of it sounds like she got the you-know-what scared out of her.
Yeah. You know, to be honest, when I downloaded it, you know, it kind of creeped me out a little bit too. But, I mean... Not, I mean, just a little bit, you know, when it starts saying creepy things, but it is fun to download. And, you know, I wouldn't take it on a paranormal investigation. Let me just say that.
Yeah, you need a little bit more professional equipment, right?
Yeah, a free app that supposedly detects and can communicate with the afterlife. I would, you know me, I do paranormal investigating and various other things, but I'm also a skeptic and I am skeptical, so...
And I think that's smart. So, Jason, I see that Brad is in the queue, and I'm going to hit the button here in a second, but I just wanted to, again, let the audience know that if you want to chat in the chat room beyondtheedgeofreality.com and you have any questions that come up during our conversation with Brad, you know, throw them out there, and we will ask him. And, you know, Brad Dupreschlay is, we're going to find out more, but he's involved with Louisiana Spirits, where they've done lots of paranormal investigations, and also geospirits.com, and he's going to tell us more about that. So I'll go ahead and get him in the queue here. Hey, Brad, how are you this evening?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Well, good. How's it going in Louisiana?
Oh, just getting ready for the vicious summer to kick in. The mosquitoes, a.k.a. pterodactyls, will be nibbling on us pretty soon.
I hate mosquitoes.
Go ahead, Brad.
The ones we have here, I think, are from some kind of nuclear testing or something. They're vicious.
I can only imagine, and they may even be 10 times the size of a mosquito in Oregon. I've been to Louisiana a few times throughout the years, Brad, and I encountered some very amazing thunderstorms that I was unprepared for. So, yeah, it gets quite humid there.
Yeah, it's not too bad right now, but we got hurricane season fixing to start kicking up, so we'll see what surprises we have this year for us.
Right on. Well, you know, Brad, thank you again for being on Paranormal Horizons with myself, Pat Tyson, and Jason. And I am just fascinated by what you do. I was, you know, looking through your website, and let's talk first about the Louisiana group that you have. How long have you been doing paranormal investigations?
Okay, as far as the actual structure of the group, we've been around since late 2005, so we're going almost on 10 years. Paranormal is something I've always been interested in, you know, like me, all you guys, you know, growing up, especially here in Louisiana, you hear all kinds of great ghost stories, whether it be from your family, friends, and you know, as we got older, we'd go, you know, hang out in cemeteries and just check out all the urban legends and whatnot, and just as I got older, I was trying to look for a structured group out there that would actually go and investigate. And I had found a small group in southern Louisiana that didn't quite investigate the way I wanted to approach things. They followed more of the psychic and medium approach, and I'm more of the skeptic, and it takes more than just, you know, someone's feelings to make me believe that a place is haunted. I'll try to rule out.
And you and Jason
out.
Are a lot alike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I won't claim every little knock on the wall or creak on the floor is a ghost. You know, we'll try to recreate everything, and once we rule out the logical explanations, then we'll look into the paranormal for possible, the explanations.
Sounds exactly like me. I think that I wish that more groups out there kind of followed that plan.
Right, and we started the group late 2005, and if anyone wants to check us out, we're at www.lespirit.com. We've conducted well over 500 investigations over our years, but as far as on the website itself, we try to list as many investigations as possible. We have, I'm sure, at least 300 investigations that contain full, you know, write-up summaries on the locations and any evidence collected over our near 10 years are up on our website. So we have plenty on there to keep you busy, not to mention the birth of our little project we've been working on, geospace.
Yeah, we'll talk about that here in a little bit too, Brad, but I did notice on your website, LA Spirit, you do have a great listing of some of the locations that you've been to, and just for the audience, your website is so well organized. You have pictures, you have videos, you have audio clips and locations. So it really is a great website for everybody out there listening. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit tonight, Brad, about Louisiana. Like you said, you know, it's an older part of the world, or the United States, if you will,
right,
than, you know, where Jason and I live in Oregon. And I would have no doubt, obviously without investigation and proof, though, that there are a lot of, you know, spirits and hauntings around there in your neck of the woods, if you will. So I wanted you to share with us some of your top, you know, maybe two of your top locations that you went to where you felt like that were really legitimate.
Probably one of them is the Shreveport Municipal Auditorium in Shreveport, Louisiana. It's been featured on several of the different paranormal television shows out there, which are, you know, most of the places we've pioneered ends up being on TV. But that's how it goes. It was home to the famous Louisiana Hayride back in the 50s and 60s. People like Elvis Presley and Johnny Cash performed. That's pretty much where they got their break in Hollywood.
And what was it called again, Brad?
The Shreveport Municipal Auditorium.
Okay, got it. I see it on your website. Okay, thank you.
And what was ironic was while Elvis and Johnny Cash were, you know, making their break in the business, underneath them, in the basement was the city morgue. So while they were performing on stage for people, they had dead bodies underneath them.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
That explains a lot.
So it's like, as they took the term knock 'em dead on stage a little too literally.
Woo. Okay, so go on.
And others, I mean, you would think, you know, I always say don't judge a book by its cover when it comes to haunted locations. You would think Louisiana, you know, the epitome of haunted locations are these big, grand, beautiful plantations. And that's not always the case. We've been to some plantations that have absolutely no activity, and I've been to some little, you know, beat-up portable buildings as homes in the middle of nowhere that ended up being 10 times more active.
But going back to the municipal auditorium, what did you guys find there?
Well, one of the most interesting clips we got, even to this day, as far as the audio recordings, is one of them that I sent you, the one called Johnny Cash. And
right.
That one was taken in the Elvis Presley dressing room. We had no one else around other than the one investigator, and we got the audio clips saying it sounded just like I Love Johnny Cash.
Yeah, and you know what, and Brad, I apologize. I uploaded three other of the audios, but I did not upload that one, so
okay.
I apologize.
So that just,
but
that just gives the people a reason to go on our website and listen to it, because it's there.
Yeah. So who do you think was saying that? I Love Johnny Cash.
Well, I don't know. We even had news reporters that covered it, asking if it was Johnny Cash. Well, of course not, but who knows who it was.
Everybody loves Johnny Cash. I love Johnny Cash. Could be anyone.
You gotta love him. But we've taken groups on tours through there, and we've had numerous people claim to see, you know, shadows and hearing disembodied sounds, and the place is quite interesting, real rich in history.
Now, is it still a working auditorium where they still have shows, or is it just shut down?
No, they still have performances, and it's still fully operational.
Wow. Go ahead, Jason.
Oh, I was going to say, now, I've done my fair share of paranormal investigatings, but one of the things, you know, we talk to a lot of paranormal investigators, and I was curious, and I know the listeners are always interested, if you had ever been on an investigation that had made you scared or made you question going there. I mean, out of all your investigations, what would you say would be the scariest one for you?
The scariest one for me actually wasn't even in Louisiana. It was the famous Waverly Hills in Louisville, Kentucky. That was the one time that I kind of truly had got what I called the pupper effect, when your butthole just sucks up into you.
And I did upload that clip, Brad, so we can play that.
Oh, okay, the laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the Waverly, if I recall, because we've talked to a couple of other investigators that have gone there, that was like a mental institution. Am I correct on that?
It was a tuberculosis hospital. It's where they would try to treat, you know, the tens of thousands of people who had TB at the time. And back then, there was really no known cure for it, so they would try all these different experimental procedures, whether it be removing ribs or portions of the lungs, or just exposing them to natural sunlight, which ended up being the best, you know, remedy for it. But there's rumors as far as how many people actually died there. Anywhere from 5,000 to probably 50,000 people are said to have died in huge.
Oh my god.
Oh, it's huge. There's a what's called the body chute. It's this huge 400 or 500 foot pretty much like a little tunnel that just goes at a slope, and that's where they would just run the bodies through. They'd have so many that would die, they would just run them through like a little, I don't know if that was a track at one point, where they would have a little, you know, carriage that would take them down this tunnel. But yeah, I mean, there's stories among stories as far as the patients who died there. Then there's said to have been one or two nurses who had committed suicide there. The top floor is not a full fifth floor; it's kind of a partial. But that top part served as the children's ward, and ironically, the kind of the criminally insane section.
Now, what era was that? Was that in the 30s?
It operated during that time. I think it officially opened, I could be wrong, maybe somewhere around the 1920s, and I think it and all the way up to maybe late 60s, 70s. I'm not the best with the exact dates.
Well, no, that makes sense, that around the 20s when they didn't, like you said, have a cure for that disease. But so what did you guys like go there and, you know, spend the night, and that's how you, obviously you got the Waverly laugh that we're going to play here in a minute.
Yeah. Our group had gone, and you can pretty much rent the place out for the night, and we all pitched in and flew up there, and we'd captured several class A EVPs that night, all of them on the website, but that was always one of them that kind of gave me the chills. In addition, several members seen, you know, shadow figures and would look like the silhouette of a little girl walking down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So it's definitely an interesting.
Do you ever worry about, like, you know, sometimes, and this might is a little off topic, and then we'll get to the audio of Waverly, but I was curious real quick, do you ever worry about these things following you home? I know that's something I've always been paranoid about, and we hear about it, you know, every once in a while. People feel like they've taken their work home with them, so to speak.
It used to. The first few years I did this, I kind of would worry about it. So, you know, we'd all just kind of say a little prayer to ourselves and try to hopefully pray that nothing comes back home with us. There was one time where I did think something may have came home with me, maybe for about 2 or 3 weeks I had weird things happening in my home. But I didn't pay it much mind. It just kind of went away, and I guess it couldn't tolerate my ex-wife either, so it left.
Well, and probably not putting any energy on it. I think that, you know, some of the spirits, it's like if they are getting attention and energy,
they'll find
hang
someone
around.
Else to run.
Right, they'll go away. Yeah.
Just like an old stray dog. You don't feed him, he'll go find someone else.
I'm a big believer in that, Pat. I really believe. This is why I don't, you know, think about demons, you know, when we talk to the Archbishop and all that. I kind of feel if you think about something and you focus on it, like you're saying, you give it energy, you know, you're feeding
right.
it. So
right.
I don't think about these things.
I think that's right. really true. But let's go ahead and play this clip. It's really short, and I listened to it a couple of times, Brad, and the laugh is kind of at the end. But let's go ahead and play
right.
that now for the audience. Wave from the booth. So you kind of hear that little giggle.
I heard that at the end. Yeah, it's almost like a kid. Can you play it one more time?
Yeah, let's play it again. Yeah. So it's short, but it's pretty vivid.
Yeah, it's definitely what I would. I don't know if I would consider it class A. I don't know. It's because to me an A is a true multi-syllable word. But then again, when it's something so clear like that, it's kind of on the fence of an A or a B.
Yeah, and it sounded like a kid to me.
Right, and obviously
yeah,
we didn't have any children present.
So did anybody in your group, when you captured that, Brad, did anybody have a feeling or a sense of, like, who it was?
Yeah, not that I can recall. This was around 08 when we had visited Waverly Hills. We had several other recordings taken that night of sounded like children talking. One of the investigators saw I think it was a lightning bug or something, and he says that audibly on the recorder. He says, "Oh, there's a lightning bug," and then in the background you hear a young boy saying, "Yeah, it was."
Hmm. Wow. Now, let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about some of these audio clips that you have, Brad. And if you're just tuning in, everybody, this is Paranormal Horizons on blogtalkradio.com with myself, Pat Rice, and Jason Ophir. Our very special guest this evening is Brad Duplachet with Louisiana Spirits and Geo Spirits. But the other clip that I brought up was Sit Yourself Down. Now, where's that one from?
That was taken quite recently in the Monroe, Louisiana area. It was an undisclosed location. The clients didn't want us to divulge the exact location. It was a public business, and we mm-hmm. one of the investigators is talking, and she just says, I don't know if she's just kind of talking out loud or to another investigator. She just says, "Sit yourself down," and you'll hear right behind her someone, you know, mimicking her.
Right, let me go ahead and play that, everybody.
Get yourself in.
Oh, did that not play the whole thing, Brad? It sounded like you only got part of it.
Yeah, I think that was just the investigator.
Oh, darn it. It didn't upload it correctly. Okay.
Oh.
Well, that's okay. We can talk about it because everybody, you can go to the website LASpirits.com and listen to these audio clips, because when I listen to that one, you very much hear another voice after that going, sit yourself down.
Right. And what to me, what's even more interesting about the whole thing, I don't know if you downloaded the other audio clip I had sent you about the murder victim.
Mm-hmm.
That was also captured. I'm sorry?
Oh, that was at the same place?
Yeah, that was... Oh, what it was, they were investigating this business where they had captured this sit yourself down, you know, voice. Well, 3 weeks prior to their investigation, right next door to that building, there was a woman who was raped and murdered, which that wasn't the reason our group was investigating. You know, they were just investigating the building itself from reports. But while they were there, they knew of this murder that had just taken place, so they decided to, hey, let's go out in this alleyway and just try to capture something. So our investigators go, and they captured, I don't know if, like I said, I don't know if that's one you downloaded, but it's a voice saying, it's three parts. The first part is someone saying a name, either a Leonard or a Lewis, something with an L. And then you hear like a loud noise, and then the third part, it says, they raped me. It's fairly clear. And we captured that, usually I'll probably think it was on a Saturday, about 3 or 4 days after our clip was recorded, the local police department did a press release saying that they had an individual who had turned himself in for the rape and murder of the victim, and his name was Lewis.
Wow.
And the police department didn't know the police department didn't know anything about our recording we had captured. Three or four days after we captured it, that's when they made this announcement.
You know,
wow.
Pat, I had one time, I had an EVP super clear that was similar to that. It was, instead of rape me, it was rape her. Must be kind of a common rape EVP thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the key point in the whole thing was just how that first name, it's kind of eerie how it, whether it would be coincidence or not, the odds of it sounding so similar to the individual who turned himself in, that was kind of the kicker.
Yeah, now let's see if this is the one you're talking about. Let's see if this one uploaded correctly, Brad. I'm going to play this one about the rape. Hold on, everybody. Here we go.
Yep.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Play it again.
Yeah.
Play it one more time.
Okay. Turn it up, everybody.
Wow. That clearly sounds... I'm wearing headphones, so I can hear it really well. This is the first time I've heard it, and it clearly sounds like a female saying, rape me.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I said, the first part's debatable as to exactly the name, but it does sound like it's a name that starts with an L.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if you hear a bang or some kind of second noise, but then the third part is definitely the clearest.
So obviously then Lewis, who turned himself in, who said he raped this person, then when you guys went to that investigation, the female that had been violated had passed away.
Right. Well, yes, yeah, she was raped and murdered at the same spot.
So, what time period was it? Several years ago?
No, it was 3 weeks prior. That we captured that audio 3 weeks prior to the. I'm sorry, 3 weeks after the murder took place.
That's
wow.
Kind of eerie. Why would somebody say rape me? That's strange.
I think she said rape. I think she was saying, like,
he raped,
raped me.
Yeah.
He raped me. Yeah.
Let's hear it again, you guys.
Yeah, let me hear it again.
I'm hearing raped.
I kind of, yeah, it's hard to tell. It sounds like raped to me, but it could be raped. But either way, it's a very distinct female's voice.
Right.
Yeah, very interesting. And then everybody out there, if you want to hear more clips from Louisiana Spirit, you've got it really well organized on your website, Brad. You've got the locations identified, and then you have clips and just videos and lots of great information. So
yeah, I hate to go to a website that's all scattered. I made sure when I made the website, you can access any part of the whole website without having to click more than once or twice. You know, it'll all loop you around, and everything's categorized in the type of investigations, whether it be a public location, a business, a plantation, a private residence, and then from that page, it's completely broken down. Every investigation has a detailed summary report, and any evidence captured is right next to it.
Yeah, it's really great. So, wow, thank you, you know, for doing that. So let's take a quick little break, Brad. We're just going to play a commercial, and then when we come back here on Paranormal Horizons on blogtalkradio.com, we're going to continue to talk to Brad, and we want to talk about your GeoSpirits project, and we'll talk about the website and what that all means. So,
hey, Pat?
Jason, yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to, because I brought this up at the beginning of the show about doing promos, I wanted to play Ed's Haunting promo to give the listeners an idea of what I was talking about, how we will make promotional promos to play during the show. So this is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. And again, if anybody wants promos playing during the show, they can contact me on the Paranormal Horizons page, and we can get it all worked out. So I'd like to play that example.
Right on.
I'm author Edwin F. Becker. In 1971, there was a Chicago haunting so horrific that it was the first ever paranormal event televised by NBC, and a glimpse of a true exorcism. My book, True Haunting, tells the story. It is one that nearly destroyed my life and did destroy the lives of others. True Haunting is available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or you can visit me at edwinbecker.com.
Now, that was a really basic example, but just to, you know, to give an idea of what I'm talking about. Normally, you know, I would do a lot of sound effects and stuff like that, but just in case anybody wanted clarification on doing promos, to have promos played on the show.
Well, right on, Jason. And, you know, that's what Paranormal Horizons is about, is networking and supporting the paranormal community. So if someone would like to hook up with us, we will help make a free commercial. And I do want to thank Edwin Beck for doing that. His book, True Hauntings, is truly fascinating. And, Jason, I'd also like to give a hello to Edwin and Marcia, his wife. She's been having some health challenges, and just want to wish her the best.
Yes, absolutely. Hope she gets better.
Absolutely. So, all right, Brad. So our guest, Brad Dupleche, Louisiana Spirits, and also geospirits.com. Now, what the heck does that mean? Brad, take a scoop on geospirits, please.
Well, after investigating all these years, and I mean, groups all around the country, they're kind of the, let me use the term lightly, pros of their area. I mean, they know a lot of the locations, all the hot spots, and that's, you know, each group that's their forte. They know their location, but out of their area, they aren't too familiar. If they go on a vacation or a trip somewhere, you know, like me who looks for the best restaurants around, they also want to look for, you know, what's the most haunted places in this area that I'm not familiar with.
Right.
So over all the years of investigating and tons of research, I started to put this together, and what it is just it's interactive maps that just you pull up whatever state you need to look at, and it just lists as many locations that are reportedly haunted in that particular state. And it's pretty self-explanatory. It's all these little color-coded push pins, and each color represents a certain type of location, whether it's a plantation, a hotel, a battlefield, a cemetery. Once you click the push pin, it pulls up a little blurb that tells you, the name of the location, the reasons we have been reported that it's active. Sometimes there's direct links to websites for these places. And another thing we do is to try to, like you mentioned earlier, support the paranormal community, is if a group knows of a location that's not on the map, right underneath the map there's a submit form that they can go in and enter the location, why they feel it's active, and if they have any evidence from investigations that they conducted there, they can attach it or just have their group's name listed, and they'll be given full credit as far as, that group submitted that location to the maps.
It's a brilliant website, and what I learned from it is there's a haunted Shiloh Inn in Beaverton, Oregon. I had no idea about that.
I didn't even know that, Brad.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, now how long has that website been in existence? When did you create that?
We just started that maybe about 3 months ago, 3-4 months ago. It was just took, quite a while to build, locations, but to actually put it in a map to where people could view. Yeah, I think it was around maybe February or March. And we also have a mobile version of the site, so if you pull it up from your smartphone, it's a kind of a tamed down version of the map, and it's very easy. You can still zoom in on any location, see what makes that place haunted, and you can still submit new locations from your phone. And if you have an iPhone or something, you save that page to your desktop on your home screen. It's almost like you have your own little mini GeoSpheres app, I guess you could call it, because when you hit the button from your home screen, it'll pull straight up the maps, and then you just select your state and go from there.
That's really great. Go ahead, Jason.
Have you been getting, what kind of reception have you got? It seems like I see, the post for GeoSpirits on like every paranormal page. Is the reception been pretty good from other teams?
So far, I haven't heard anything negative. We've had, there's some states I didn't realize was as active as they were. Ohio is one that I've gotten tons of locations from different groups in Ohio of probably half of the maps has recently have all come from Ohio. We've been trying to promote it a lot on Facebook, and we've just trying to been networking with every group, whether it's a small group that has 10 likes or the biggest groups around. We've just been trying to network, and because it's not just for one group or a certain region. This is something hopefully every group, small or large, across the whole country can use, and it's not putting any preferences towards anyone. If a group submits it, they get the credit for it. We're not guaranteeing that the place is active. We have no way to know that, but we have all those disclaimers also. Take all appropriate safety measures, get the proper approval before you visit these places. We can't guarantee this place is haunted. We're just going more of a database.
Right, and Brad, I'm on the website, and I just pulled up Idaho just for the fun of it, kind of a random state choice, and I'm blown away at how many markers there are in the state.
Right.
And you guys have it organized so well because you have different categories and they're color-coded. So if it's a restaurant that's supposedly haunted, like you said, you can't guarantee
it's green.
Right. And if it's a cemetery, it's kind of purple. if it's a bed and breakfast. So you can kind of just click on wherever you might be. Like if you're doing, like you said, a trip to Idaho, it's just fantastic the way you have this organized. And I used to live in Idaho for not a very long time, and there's several haunting areas in the area that I lived in. So I'm just so blown away here.
I think it's going to be huge.
Job.
I think the website is really going to explode. That's my prediction. I'm not psychic, but that's because I think the community really needs something like that. I think that people have been wanting, to utilize a tool like that and to have something that's out there and that's growing. I think it's just going to grow exponentially.
Yeah, I mean, there's just when you think you've added every location you can from a state, all it takes is one small little group, you know, that they might not be around for 2 months, but they just know one real good hot spot. I mean, those groups just constantly feeding the map system, and who knows how large it could grow. Obviously, Louisiana's our most in-depth map because, you know, that's our state. We've had 10 years of investigating it. So, yeah, our Louisiana map's probably the most in-depth Louisiana haunted locations database you'll ever find because it's not only haunted locations through the years of reports and all that, but from our investigations, too. I mean, so I think we have at least, I think, 200 locations in Louisiana. And when you have the map pulled up from far, it doesn't look like much. Like when you see New Orleans from a zoomed-out aspect, you may see four or five pushpins, which doesn't look active, but the more you start zooming in, then boom, they explode, and you see, oh, there's 40 right here just in the French Quarter, you know?
Yeah, and I just went to that state, Brad, and you're right. And speaking of the French Quarter, I've only been there a couple of times in my life, and I didn't necessarily, you know, have any personal hauntings, but I went on this tour where they kind of took you around to cemeteries and things like that, and that was just like years ago, but it was fascinating. And, you know, Louisiana and the French Quarter and New Orleans, like you said, has so much history. Now, I'm just kind of thinking out loud here, you guys. What's another state? I'm going to pull up Washington, D.C. I wonder if they've got a lot, because there's lots of history there.
Oh, yeah.
For its size, there actually is quite a bit. I was surprised at Florida. Florida has a good bit as well.
Yeah, let's see. Okay, yeah, Washington has quite a bit. Let's check out, like, Virginia, because we've talked to some guests here and there that have had some very, you know, interesting stories about Virginia and haunted plantations. And, well, yeah, I'm looking at it now. Not a ton, but quite a bit. No,
yep.
Actually, now I'm drilling down. There is quite a bit.
It surprises you, though. The states you would think would be packed aren't as packed. That's why we're reaching out to all those groups out there. You know, like I said, you're the pros in your states. You know the places we don't. So go in there, any place you know of that's not in there, submit it. Put your group's URL. And if you guys have done an investigation, attach, you know, a direct link to your site that has whatever your findings were, and we'll gladly put it on that tab. So when someone clicks, they have a direct resource to go read an in-depth review on it and possibly hear or see some evidence captured from that location.
So I got a question I got to ask. Now, obviously, Louisiana is your home state, so there's going to be the most investigations in that region. But what would you say, and it's a work in progress, but what would you say so far outside of your home state or home region is turning out to be the most haunted state in the union?
Ooh. I stay so busy with Louisiana, I don't stop to really pay attention with who's so busy. I mean, anything along the East Coast, that's obviously your oldest areas. A lot of your battles took place there. Like I said, I was impressed with Ohio when setting up these maps, how many locations, and not only the amount of locations, but the locations that are supposedly haunted from so many grisly events, you know, not just a happy grandmother that passed away. I mean, it's, you know, satanic worshiping and, you know, some pretty dark stories there.
Yikes.
Yeah, because I pulled up the map for Ohio on the website, everybody out there, and there was lots of pins that were clustered together, Brad.
Right, like, you'll notice that too, and that's another neat thing about the maps is when you're zoomed out, you can see how stuff is, you know, kind of centralized to certain, whether it be big cities or along major interstates and or more heavily populated areas. You can see the patterns.
Yeah, that's really neat. And it's really, you know, professional the way that you guys did it. Like when you click on one of the pins, like you said, you acknowledge who sent it to you. You know, you say, so-and-so sent us this site, and then any information that they've given you about it, you know, like, oh, they've investigated this place, you know, one or two times or whatever. So that's really great information. And, you know, what a great service to the paranormal community that you've done, Brad.
Well, when we've done this for so long and we've been through the ups and downs, we've seen how, you know, how backstabbing and dirty this hobby can unfortunately be.
Yep.
But when the dust settles, you know, with some old dogs like us that are still, you know, hanging in there, it's like you don't want to brag or toot your own horn, but when you've done as all that there is to do in your state, why not try to help others? You know, to help everyone together and educate those that aren't as educated in the field, because we all have a lot to learn in this. No matter how long you've been doing this, no one's an expert at this.
Right, and like you said, you know, if someone's traveling and they want to kind of get connected and, you know, goodness knows, I guess when I go on a vacation, I don't really want to go on an investigation, but who knows? Somebody else might want to do that, and you've given them the information to do that.
Right, and not even a full investigation per se, because I know a few years back I went to San Diego, and we stayed at the Hotel Del Coronado, a reportedly haunted location.
Yeah. Oh,
and
uh-huh.
I knew there was some other areas in that. I knew that was the Whaley House, so we just took a daytime tour, no investigation, but at least to say, you know, hey, I've been there, I've seen it. I've stayed at the Stanley Hotel. Again, not an investigation conducted, but at least you'll know daytime touring, you know, what's haunted in this area. I can at least say I've been to, you know, down the road. It's just something for your own personal interest to say, yeah, I visited that place.
Right. Yeah, like I just pulled up California since you mentioned San Diego, and I used to live in San Francisco, so I'm kind of looking at some of the spots there real quick. And, yeah, it's very, very interesting the way that you have this organized. So,
and
yeah.
For some places that I'm familiar with, like the Lafayette Cemetery in New Orleans, where Marie Laveau is reportedly buried, the famed voodoo practitioner, I tried to zoom in the map as much as possible and actually put the pin on the exact geographical spot where the tomb is. So, I mean, if you're trying to find a grave of someone, I mean, if I know where it's at, I'm going to actually, I put the pin actually on it, if you can zoom it in all the way. Same thing I did with, I know it's not paranormal, but I'm a big JFK conspiracy cover-up guy, Lee Harvey Oswald,
oh, yeah,
and everything. And I have a few of those locations. And for Rose Hill Cemetery in Fort Worth, I have Oswald's grave marked, and I have it zoomed in, and a lot of people don't know where his actual grave is. And I have not only a picture of his grave, so you know what you're looking for, but then I'll put the push pin as dead center on the little tombstone that you can see, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, right on. Well, gosh, Brad, we can't thank you enough for being our guest this evening. We're getting
thanks for having
close.
Me.
Yeah, and I, again, everybody out there that's listening to Paranormal Horizons, you know, you can check out Brad's websites. You know, he's got Louisiana Spirits, and then he's got geospirits.com. And GeoSpirits, you know, Brad, I just got to say, that's just such an innovative website that you've created for everyone out there in the paranormal community. And again, if you missed it, if you have a location or somewhere that you believe is haunted, you can submit that information for Brad to put on the website. And again, you can't guarantee that it's haunted, but you're just
right.
kind of throwing the information out there.
Right, and all we ask, too, is that you don't put a private residence, and that's for the obviously the privacy of the homeowner. We don't want any negative or unwanted attention brought to them. So only public locations, places that can be visited by the general public, whether it be
right.
with approval or not, you know, just not a private home someone lives in.
That makes sense. You don't want,
yeah.
like, you know, 50 people showing up at your home.
Right.
I've had
a few submit private residences, but I can't put them, you know, for obvious reasons.
Right, right. So, now, Brad, a couple quick questions. So, you said in 2005 you kind of got into this, you know, Louisiana spirit group.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you've grown up in Louisiana all of your life. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So did you have any experiences growing up that you can
no.
share with us that kind of got you into this?
Most people who do this, they all have some great experience where they, you know, saw something when they were little that sparked them, their interest. I never really had anything happen. It was just growing up in Louisiana, like I said, it comes second nature kind of hearing all those ghost stories. My grandparents would tell me things that they'd seen when they were younger, and I was just always fascinated with it. And my grandmother had probably the one thing that might have sparked my interest the most. I wouldn't call it an experience, but my grandmother had told me one night she was watching TV and she had seen like this odd black mist that came from behind her and just kind of hovered over her head for a couple seconds and then just faded away. Well, she didn't really think too much of it. 2 days later, she went to the doctor. They diagnosed her with cancer. 2 months later, she passed away.
Oh, my.
So, something like that just was kind of a big thing that makes you wonder, you know, are there, you know, omens or are you warned of stuff like that ahead of time?
Mm-hmm.
When we die, we're all made of energy. When we die, where does that energy go?
Yeah, that's a really good question. But also, Brad, I guess talking to you, too, and, you know, I grew up in California and, you know, it was probably a different, you know, world than Louisiana. But I wonder if your culture, like you said, there might have been just comments maybe that people made as you were growing up that were just normal to you. Like, does that kind of sound right to you? Like you know, maybe, because I've been to Louisiana, like I said, two or three times, and I just notice a different, you know, kind of culture there where it's more accepted that they believe in spirits and,
right.
and things like that.
It's definitely more of our culture. They incorporate it more. And it's not just, you know, people think Louisiana voodoo and all that. It has nothing to do with that because I was raised Catholic. My grandparents and parents were all, you know, very devout Catholics. And I would hear them tell stories. You know, they would talk about the fifoles, called in French. It's like the will-o-wisp, the little balls of light that bounce around cemeteries and so forth.
Oh. You mean like an orb?
It's really, it's more of a visible ball of light. It's about the size of like maybe a cantaloupe or something. And it's just these balls of light that are seen bouncing around either fence lines or cemeteries. And I would always hear my grandparents talk about that. And it wasn't until around 06 when I had actually seen one driving to an investigation. And it was, sure enough, it was along near a cemetery. And it would look just like this little ball of light just bouncing down a field.
And what did you call it again? What was the name of it?
A fifole.
a will-o-wisp.
Okay. A will-o-wisp. Have you ever heard of that, Jason?
I have. I have heard of will-o-wisp. I know that there are some phenomena like ball lightning, but I don't know if that's what that is. But I have heard of that sort of stuff, especially around, like, you know, Civil War battlefields. I know there are some videos and stuff like that.
Yeah. And, I mean, growing up, my grandmother would always have these odd little cure-alls and, you know, things that almost sounded voodoo, but they would actually work. I can remember when I was growing up, I had a wart on my finger. And my grandmother did something where she just cut a potato in half and rubbed it and went bury it somewhere that she wouldn't tell me where she buried it. And, like, the next day, the wart fell off.
Oh, my gosh.
Just all these odd little remedies, and it always makes you wonder if your grandparents had a little mojo in them.
Wait, I got a wart on my foot. So what do? You cut a potato?
Yeah, you cut a potato in half, you rub the potato on the wart, and then you have someone go bury the potato. Usually they say, I think it's a long side of a building wherever the rain runs off of the roof and hits the ground, you bury the potato right there.
I'm gonna can't bury the potato myself.
No,
somebody
you
else.
Can't. Somebody okay. else has to, and they can't. And they can't tell you why the potato is there. I know it sounds
okay.
ridiculous, but just trust me.
Okay.
Well, we're gonna try this, and we'll do an update.
All right. Like I said, I know it sounds ridiculous, but just trust me.
You never know.
You have just been fascinating to talk to, and I thank you for being on Paranormal Horizons and sharing your, you know, some of your personal stories as well as your, you know, your journey into the paranormal. So thank you so much for being with us this evening.
It was my pleasure.
Yeah, and thank you for coming on such short notice. We kind of threw this all together, and I appreciate you making contact so we could do this tonight.
Yeah.
All right, Brad. Well, we will talk with you again in the future. And if you're ever over here on the West Coast, be sure, you know, we'll have to hook up. Or if I happen to be in Louisiana again, it would be wonderful to meet you in person.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely let me know if you come down here. We'll cook something for you.
Ooh, yeah. And we'll go on an investigation, too.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Sounds like fun.
All right, Brad. Good night, and have a good evening.
Y'all too. Take care.
Thanks, Brad.
All righty.
So
yeah.
I did have... Yeah, that was great. You know, I'm always interested, particularly in that region of, you know, a lot of the paranormal investigating that goes on. Louisiana, it's so fascinating. And, you know, we were running out of time, and, you know, maybe sometime in the future we can have him come on and talk a little bit more about investigations. But I was going to ask him, but we were running out of time, about a little bit more about the voodoo. I'm always curious if that ever ties into, you know, any investigations anyone's done.
Yeah, you know, and voodoo is really interesting. And, you know, a lot of people, they just, you know, they think it's just sort of a cliche term, like, oh, voodoo. But it is a very real, and I don't know if it's appropriate to call it a religion, but it is very real, and it's not necessarily bad. So that would be fascinating to find out more about that.
Yeah, I've been watching this show on YouTube. It's a mainstream show, and I can't remember the name. It's something cursed, and I watched this one episode of somebody was cursed with voodoo, and man, it scares you, because this person was like, had all sorts of crazy stuff happen to him, so maybe there is something to it.
Yeah, that would be a very interesting topic. And now, just for everybody listening out there, now, next week, Jason, do you have on our calendar the information for our guests for next week?
I do. You know, I've been actually spending a lot more time finding guests. Yeah, I've been lazy lately, but I found that I kind of enjoy doing a lot of the producing stuff, so I'm online all the time. And we do have a guest lined up for next week. We have author Karen Vance Hammond, who is the author of Shoe Marks. And then on the 17th, we have Zero Lux Paranormal, Paranormal's co-founder, Tony Lewis. Now, Zero Lux Paranormal is a really popular paranormal group and back east, and they have a television show that broadcasts out in their area, so we're excited to get them on and talk to them as well.
Right. Yeah, we can let everybody know about that. And again, just to let everybody know, we really want to collaborate. So if you'd like us to do a free commercial, we want to work with you on that. And, you know, Jason is kind of the wizard behind the audio. But if you're not comfortable doing a recording yourself, Jason and I can do it together. There's just so many ways to do it. So please reach out to us for that. Our Facebook page, of course, is Paranormal Horizons, and we can, you know, get your private message there, or if you feel like posting anything, we always welcome that, as long as it's not offensive to anyone.
Yeah, no drama. Paranormal Horizons is drama-free, big time.
Yeah, that's right. We don't want that drama. So, well, Jason, I don't have anything else to share this evening. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we sign off?
I think that's it. I just wanted to mention you can always check out our friends at Beyond the Edge of Reality on Blog Talk Radio. And also, I've got another Facebook page called Jason O'Fear's Paraanalysis. So if you go to Facebook and type in Jason O'Fear, that Paraanalysis page will come up. And that's a page where I just kind of pull off videos on YouTube and kind of give my thoughts on. Not that I'm not really anybody. So the reason I use that name on that, you know, my name on that page is it was kind of a joke to start with. So I'm not that egotistical where I think I'm somebody, because really I'm nothing. So.
Well, but everybody has an opinion, and that's what the paranormal community is just about, all of us kind of teaching each other and helping each other out. So, yeah, check that out, everybody.
Yep, and that's all I got, and I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. And I think, unless you have anything else, we can click our little extra.
Nope, just want to tell everybody we'll be back next week on Tuesday, 7 p.m. Pacific time. Tune in for Paranormal Horizons with Pat Rice and Jason O'Fear. Hey, everybody, take care of each other and take care of your four-legged critters. Good night.
Good night.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Pat Rice and Jason O'Fear. Be sure to come listen to the show next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Blog Talk Radio. And also, check out our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.